Congregation, if we could just, the text for today's sermon is on the data screen behind me. And I'll just read that through. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Congregation, the sermon I'm privileged to read to you this afternoon was prepared by the Reverend John Haviland and has the title of Two Ways, based on the text that's behind me. A congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, most of us, I'm sure, have been out travelling in a car or walking on a track and have come to a T-junction or a fork in the road. When that happens, we are faced with a decision. Which direction will we go? What route will we take? Which path will we go down? The two tracks go in quite different directions. One is the right way, and the other way is the wrong way. Which one will you take? And the one you take will determine where you end up, whether you get where you want to go. Jesus takes this type of decision and uses it as a picture of a choice of life. What path are you on? Where is your life going? In what direction are you headed? Jesus urges us to choose the narrow gate and the way that leads to life, rather than the broad gate and the way that leads to destruction. Jesus pictures people coming up to two gates. One is wide and leads onto a broad and smooth road. That route is busy and people are streaming through the gate. The other gate is small, it's harder to find, and the road beyond it looks narrow and difficult. Only a few people are making their way through it. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. The smaller gate is the right choice. Take that one. He says this because he is close to the end of his Sermon on the Mount. Now he wants to apply what he has said. He wants to drive home a point. He wants to reinforce it. So verses 13 and 14 are the beginning of the conclusion. This is the final exhortation, verses 13 and 14. Becoming a Christian is not just about knowing doctrine. It is not enough just to have information or to think Christianly, or to think that Christianity is a wonderful belief system or philosophy. It's actually about knowledge. There must also be action. What you know must be applied. You have to make a decision. You have to take what you know and put it into practice. This is what Jesus is urging upon us here. He gives this clear directive in the light of the final judgment that is coming. This is the overall theme of this chapter. Think ahead, he says, and make a wise choice. All of humanity is on one of two roads. Be sure that you are on the right one. Now we come to our first point. I know on the sheet the points haven't been made there, but here's the first point. You might want to note it down if you're taking notes. There is a wide gate and a broad way, the first point. The entrance to this road is wide. It is an easy entrance. It's very inviting. It's spacious, it's roomy, and it's accommodating. People going through the gate can take whatever they like with them. You don't have to leave anything behind. You can take your sin and selfishness and pride. You can take your greed, your envy and your jealousy. You can take all your bad habits, your anger and your immorality. The entrance is so easy, you don't have to do anything to enter this gate. In fact, by nature, everyone heads towards this entrance. This is our natural sinful inclination, our default point. This is the pull of our sinful, depraved heart. Unless you have made a conscious and deliberate choice to enter by the narrow gate, then you are, in fact, already through the wide gate and on the broad road. It is also an accommodating gate. It accepts everyone, regardless of their beliefs or their philosophy or their ideas. There is no one standing at the gate excluding anyone or turning anyone away. Everyone is allowed through. This, of course, fits exactly with the spirit of our age. This is the world of pluralism. Everyone is accepted and welcomed. Every belief is tolerated and even affirmed. In the postmodern pluralism, there is room for a great diversity of opinion. Everyone is right. No one's wrong. And we can travel the road together. Wide is the gate. It is easy. It is a natural choice. And it's accommodating. And of course, it's a broad way. It's a smooth way. This route is like a wide and spacious boulevard. The road is flat, it's paved, and it's easy to walk. This is a picture of the way of the world, the way of Satan, and the way of sin. It doesn't make any demands on you. It doesn't require any sacrifices. You don't have to commit yourself to anything. You can just go along. Please yourself, following your sinful inclinations. This is the road of least resistance. It's like a fish swimming downstream, going with the flow. This is a popular way. Many enter through this gate. Many people walk this road. It's crowded, it's busy, there are hordes of people on this route. This is the majority view, and this is another reason why the path is so popular. It is far easier to follow the crowd, the more the merrier. At a party, no one likes to be alone with no one to talk to. It's more comfortable to be part of the group, to follow along with everyone else. You have to be in with the crowd, doing what everyone else is doing. This is the popular way. And we have to ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, am I like that, just following the crowd? But when we look at it, when we analyse it, we actually find that this is an unhappy way. The ease of this route doesn't make people happy. Sure, it's smooth. But that doesn't give people satisfaction or contentment or security. Many are chasing the world of fashion, of success, of money. Many are looking for happiness and social honours, or getting on top of the corporate ladder, or doing well in education. But there is no lasting happiness in these things. King Solomon tried all these things. He busied himself with pleasures, money, women, food, wine, building and gardening. He describes all of this in the book of Ecclesiastes. But in the end, he came to the conclusion that without God, all was empty, useless and vain. This broad way might be an easy way, and many others might be on it with you, travelling with you, but it will not give you lasting happiness. In fact, it ends in destruction. If you are travelling along a road, you need to know where the road is taking you, where it's leading. Where does it end? You need to know where you are going so you don't end up somewhere you don't expect. Many people today are on this broad road, not realizing that it is taking them to destruction. It would be like floating on a little boat down the Waikato River. You're relaxing and enjoying the ride, not realizing that you're heading for the Hooker Falls. Plenty of high adventure movies play on this theme. The hero is in his car or on his horse, not realizing that further up the road, there are people lying in wait to kill him. Now, the hero usually escapes because, of course, it's a movie. But no one on this broad road will escape this destruction because the road ends in hell. Psalm 1:6 says, the way of the wicked will perish. And in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The end of the road for those who don't believe in Jesus is eternal death. No one should speak about hell in a light-hearted way. It is one of the most solemn and sobering truths of the Bible, that unbelievers will be punished forever. It isn't easy to accept or believe, but it is the plain teaching of the scriptures. Each one of us must take this as a serious warning. You ignore these words of the Lord Jesus at your peril. Many people who are on this broad road are not thinking about where it is taking them. They're thinking a short term. They don't consider their final end. They are preoccupied with the here and now, with the present, with the immediate. So we mustn't make the same mistake. Think ahead. Think long term. Where is your life going? What is your end? Are you on the broad road that leads to destruction? Or have you found the small gate? Are you on the narrow way? So now we come to the second point of the message. You might like to note this down. The second point, the small gate and the narrow road. The small entrance is the small gate. In Pilgrim's Progress, that classic story written by John Bunyan, Christian, the main character, has to enter by the wicket gate, a small gate that led on to the cross. In this little parable of Jesus, the gate is small, and we read that in Luke 13. It is so narrow that you can't take anything with you. You won't fit. You can't take your good works, as though they were a set of bonus points to help you through, nor can you take your sin with you. The only way you can get through that gate is to confess your sin and resolve to leave your sin behind. That is repentance. You have to admit your sin and then turn away from it. You need to leave covetousness, lust, selfishness, self-righteousness and pride. To enter through the narrow gate, you must be poor in spirit, which is the first of the Beatitudes that Jesus taught the people. This gate is so narrow, it will only allow one person through at a time. It is a turnstile. It's like a turnstile in the supermarket. You have to go through on your own. When you become a Christian, you join a community of people who are part of the church, and you are part of that church as well. But you have to come through the gate on your own. Becoming a Christian is a personal matter. It's between you and God. No one else can do that for you. You can't come through with anyone else. You can't come through with your wife or your husband or your friends or other congregation members. The gate itself is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the gate." He is the entrance to the way. The way into his narrow path is through faith in Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate," he was calling people to believe in him, to believe in him as the Son of God, as the Lord, as Saviour. He calls to me and to you to do that. Maybe we have been coming to church for a while, but haven't made a firm commitment. You haven't yet decided to follow Jesus. You haven't entered through the narrow gate. You need to do that. You need to do that urgently. Enter by faith through the small gate. The gate is small and the path is narrow. This means that it is a difficult way. The word narrow is associated with the word trial or tribulation. Becoming a Christian will involve trial, difficulty and opposition. You may suffer persecution. Jesus warns us of that in Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Narrow also suggests that it involves discipline, obedience and commitment. You need to pursue righteousness. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Being a Christian will mean bearing a cross of self and also of self-denial. We need to explain this to people when we tell them about the gospel. Sometimes Christians are not always honest when speaking about their faith to others, about becoming a Christian. They paint a rosy picture. They don't explain the hard parts. But Jesus told the people what they were in for. He told the rich young ruler he had to leave behind his possessions. He told the eager would-be disciples to count the cost. He spoke to the Samaritan woman about her life of adultery. This is a narrow and difficult way. It is also a very unpopular way. Only a few find it. This is not a well-travelled route. You have to be prepared to draw away from the crowds. You have to be prepared to stand apart from the world. This doesn't tell us how many will be saved. Someone asked Jesus that question once in Luke 13:23, and Jesus replied, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door." So Jesus didn't actually answer the question. He doesn't want you to be counting heads, seeing how many others are on the path. No, you make sure you find the gate. Jesus is not saying that it's every man for himself either, but he does want every individual person to face his own responsibility, to put his faith in Jesus. This is a blessed way. Sure, it's difficult, and it may involve persecution. It certainly requires discipline and self-denial. But despite of all that, it's a blessed way. It is a good path to be on. The best part of being on this path is that you are walking with Jesus. You are following him. He has gone the way before you. Through his Spirit, he is walking it alongside you. If you're on this path, you will experience the joy of the Lord, the security of belonging to God the Father, and the hope of eternal life and the prospect of happiness in heaven with Jesus, because this path ends in eternal life. The life that Jesus describes is the life of the kingdom of God. It describes a life of fellowship with God that begins now but will go on forever. Walking the narrow path requires self-denial and discipline, but the Apostle Paul tells us that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing to the glory to come, and we read that in 2 Corinthians 4. So there are two gates. You must enter through one or the other. There are two ways, and you are on either one or the other. There is no third alternative. There is no middle way. You can't sit on the fence. You have to make a decision. No decision leaves you on the broad way that leads to destruction. Many years ago, Moses spoke to the people of Israel and said, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." A generation later, Joshua said, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Today, through the words of our Lord, the Holy Spirit calls you and I to choose. Will you take the broad road that leads to destruction, or will you take the narrow road that leads to life? Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate." Have you done that? Have I done that? If you have, keep walking that narrow path. Keep persevering to the end. It will be worth it. If you haven't done that, will you choose the small gate that leads to life? Will you do that? Will you do that today? And brothers and sisters, after hearing this message, if you come to the conclusion that you are on the broad, easy road, you can take the next off-ramp that connects to the narrow road. In other words, God will forgive you and let you enter by the narrow gate. If you ask for a new spiritual compass, so you get your bearings right and get you on the right road, the road to life and salvation. Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.